you that turn away from the Lord, is paying exceedingly more. You that turn away from God, you are paying a greater price than I'm paying by traveling with Jesus. For you see, the man who turns his back on God is not only paying with your body. He's not only paying with your body, but paying with your soul. And what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and then lose his soul? Oh Lord, I know that when all of this is over, my Lord will reward me. Oh Lord, one day I talked with John, and I was a little anxious about it, and I wondered what my reward would be. I'd heard about crowns, I'd heard about slippers, I'd heard about gold streets and gold rings. But John told me, don't worry, that what I'd heard about wasn't all, for eyes haven't seen it, and then ears haven't heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man, the good things the Lord has in store for us. I'm going through the glory.
Are listening to the very best of community radio, and presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the media ministries of the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, pastored by Reverend Joseph Garner at 1210 M.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
Malachi chapter 3, and I'll just be very frank with you by telling you that I know that we haven't lifted the offering yet, but this message, amen. I was so convicted, and we thank God for our wonderful revival this week, and how Pastor Garner blessed us in a very mighty way. But I've got to be honest and tell you that I was very much convicted on Wednesday night as he shared with us from the book of Malachi, and he shared with us from chapter 2, and there was one verse in particular that really got me, because it said that because the priest allowed the people to bring substandard gifts unto God, not only would they be cursed, but because the priest allowed it, it said, let me read it because I don't want to, amen, say it wrong. It said in verse 3, chapter 2, verse 3, and he's talking to the priest. He says, behold, I will corrupt your seed and spread dung upon your faces. Y'all, I don't want no dung on my face. Amen. I don't want that. As a matter of fact, I don't want any curses, amen, because I have not done what God has called me to do. And so this morning, I wanted to share this word with you before the offering in hopes that maybe somebody, after hearing the message, would change their mind on the types and the quality of gifts that they bring unto the Lord. Amen. Because when you read this, you understand that it's serious, that God is not, amen, expecting junk from us. He's not expecting substandard gifts from us. And if the truth would be told, God has been so good to us that we ought not want to bring him anything less than our best. Amen? Amen. 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 Those of you in the lobby, feel free to come on in. I know our ushers have already taken their seats, but we welcome you to come right on in. So happy to see you in the house of the Lord on today. Malachi chapter 3, and we will read into your hearing verses 1 through 12. I don't expect many, if any, amens on this. But I got to get the monkey. Thank you. All right. Amen. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming, and who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi." Now understand that the tribe of Levi was the tribe from which the priest came. Amen. Levi was the priestly nation. It says, "And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then shall the offering of Judah and Jerusalem be pleasant unto the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years." Oh, I want it back. I want it back. "And I will come near to you to judgment, and I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers and against the adulterers, and against false swearers, and against those that oppress the hireling in his wages, the widow and the fatherless, and that turn aside the stranger from his light. And fear not me, saith the Lord of hosts, for I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." Verse 7. "Even from the days of your fathers, ye are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with the curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all," say all, "the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for ye shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts." For just a moment this morning, I want you to think with me in terms of the subject. And like I said, I know I don't expect a lot of amens this morning. That's all right. Amen, amen. But if you will think with me in terms of a subject, say, coming from under the curse. Coming from under the curse. Amen. I want to start with the story that I heard, and I believe that in a real way this story will encapsulate what I'm trying to get across today. And it is my hope and it is my prayer that after you hear this story, that every time you eat a French fry, every time you see a French fry on television, on a commercial, or on a billboard, amen, that you will be reminded of what we talk about here today. Yes. One day, James wanted to do something special with his 5-year-old son, Jimmy. He asked, "Son, is there anything you'd like to do right now?" Jimmy said, "I want some McDonald's French fries." His father said, sounds like my dad, "If that's what my boy wants, that's what my boy gets." They got into the blue and white Chevy truck and headed toward McDonald's. Jimmy's lips and tongue were silently moving as he could taste the fries before they even reached the store. His dad made the order, and Jimmy's heart pounded when his dad said, make it a supersized fry. James took the money out of his wallet to pay for the fries and a drink. Jimmy's little teeth were ready to sink into those hot golden fries before they even made it to the table. When they sat down, grace consisted of, God bless this food, amen. But it seemed like way too many words to Jimmy, who was eager to delight himself with this huge blessing of French fries. James was happy to see his little boy so happy over something so simple. He decided to join in the fun. He reached over to get a couple of Jimmy's fries for himself. To his surprise, his son quickly put his arms around his fries as though building a fort and pulled them toward himself and said, no, these are mine. His dad was in a state of shock for a moment. He could not believe what had happened. James pulled his hand and began to reflect about his son's attitude toward the fries. So for just a moment this morning, let's walk together through the things that must have gone through Daddy's mind. He was thinking, my son failed to realize that I'm the source of those French fries. At the counter, I was the one who gave the cashier the money from my wallet. I did not give him the size fry he was expecting, but something twice as big. Yet here he is talking about his French fries. Not only was I the source of the French fries, he has forgotten that I, at 6 feet one and 195 pounds, have the power to take all of the fries, despite his little arms surrounding them as a fort. Or that if I wanted to, I could go back to the counter and bring him so many fries that he could never eat them all. He also does not understand that I don't need his French fries. I could go back to the counter and get as many fries as I wanted. As the dad thought about it, one or two fries really would not have made much of a difference for him that day. What he wanted was for his son Jimmy to invite him into the wonderful little world he had made possible for his son. He wanted his son to be willing to share the very blessing that he had provided. We have to realize, my brothers and sisters, that every day God gives us the choice to live out the chance to fellowship and commune with him. God takes us to McDonald's on a regular basis. God blesses us. He blesses you. He blesses me. He's given all of us some French fries. Some have small fries. Some have medium fries. Others large fries. And some even have supersized fries. Some are narrow and light in color like McDonald's fries. Others are thick and dark like Checkers fries. Some have the potato skin on them like Wendy's fries. And some are curly like Arby's fries. I'm a fry expert. But do I have a witness today that God has given all of us some fries? Like that dad James, God desires to sit down at the table with us for some fellowship. When God reaches over to use some of the blessings he has given to us, far too often we say, no, God, these are mine. No, no, no. Go and get your own. We try building our own little forts around our blessings. Is there anybody here this morning that understands that God is the source of everything we have? Yeah, you may have went to work for it, but how many know that you've got to have something within you that you didn't put in you to have the ability to get up and even go to work? Is there anybody here today that understands that God has the ability to take away everything we think is ours, and God has the ability to give us far more than what we have? There's not a single person here today who knows how many times God has already spared their lives when death came knocking. And my brothers and sisters, we ought not ever underestimate the Spirit's power to protect us from things we don't even know about. Is there anybody here that recognizes God does not need our French fries? And that it is an honor and a privilege to be able to share our fries with God. God does not ask us to give because God is hurting and in desperate need. God asks us to give because God wants us to be like him. You know, God has a giving attitude, and he wants that giving attitude modeled in his children. The first verse that most of us learn in the Bible is John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world," what? "That he..." Throughout the Bible, you find that God is always giving. In your own lives, how many of you know that you cannot underestimate God's ability to provide for you in ways that you had not thought possible? God is very interested in how we respond to the blessings he sends our way, and God is very interested in what we choose to do with them. So let's look at a passage of scripture. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 29. We're going to walk through a few verses there. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. I don't know about y'all, but it doesn't got hot up here. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. In the first 9 verses of the chapter, the Israelites had just taken up an incredible size offering for a new building project. They were going to build the first temple for God. They were celebrating because the leaders were pledging their gold, their silver, their jewelry, and everything else they had of value. In verses 10 through 17, I want you to look there because it indicates that the people knew that God is the source of everything that we have. 1 Chronicles 29, 10 through 17. David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, look at what it says, "Praise be to you, O Lord, God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting." Verse 11, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, O Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all." Verse 12, "Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all." Verse 13, "Now, our God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are aliens and strangers in your sight, as were all our forefathers. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. O Lord, our God, as for all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name, it comes from your hand, and all of it belongs to you." Take a look at the word "everything" in verse 11. And the words "everything comes from you" in verse 14. Look at the last 6 words in verse 16. "All of it belongs to you." Y'all, David understood that everything comes from God. Is there anybody here today who will testify with David that you know and that you understand that everything comes from God? In verse 12, the last part of the verse says, "In your hands are the strength and power to exalt and to give strength to all." Y'all, David understood that God was in control and could give us French fries or take them away. In verse 14, it says, "Everything comes from you, and we have only what comes from your hand." That's interesting. It's saying, God, you gave us everything we have, and we're just turning around and giving some of it back to you. David is saying, God, you are the total source of all that we have. All this wealth we have given for the building of the temple, you put it in our hands. And then we took it out of our hands and put it back in your hands. Y'all, it's called a circle of giving. Now, am I saying that God is the source of everything? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Whether you worked for it, whether you won it, found it,
received it as a gift. God is still the ultimate source. The Bible tells us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all of us who live in it, everything we think we own belongs to God. Wait a minute, Pastor, you saying my car? Yes. My house? Yes. My Xbox? Yes. My clothes? Yes. My jewelry? Yes. My food belongs to God. You may think you earned it, you worked for it, you traded for it. You could not have done those things without the strength God provides. Is there anybody that can celebrate the fact that he woke you up this morning? Is there anybody that can celebrate that he gave you the right mind and gave you the wherewithal to go to a job? Then you ought to give him praise. I said you ought to give him praise. Can I tell you why you ought to praise him? There are people more educated than you. You may not believe it, but there are people smarter than you. You may not like it. There are people prettier than you, more persuasive than you, but they can't get up out of a hospital bed. Your health and the ability to get anything is a gift from God. Your family, your spouse, your loved ones are all gifts from God. There is nothing we have that God ultimately has not provided. We are growing in Christ when we realize that God gives to us and delights in us giving to others and giving back to him. Doesn't it amaze you that we would act like Jimmy with the French fries with our God? God gives us all these French fries and we're sitting around saying, oh, no, 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 no. These are mine. God, as a parent, my brothers and sisters, is hurt because we have such a limited understanding that everything we have was God's in the first place and it still belongs to him. Do you understand? Do you know that you're just a steward of God's creation? That everything you have is just God letting you borrow it for a little while, and he's checking you, he's looking, and he's booking to see how you handle the blessings? And then some of us have the nerve to get on our knees and pray, Lord, give me a new car, when you won't even wash the old car that you have. Right. Lord, give me a new house, when that old house ain't seen a vacuum, it ain't seen a dust cloth, it ain't seen no cleaning in a long. God, give me a new suit, and you won't even take care of the one you have. If you really think something belongs to you, I dare you to die and prevent somebody else from taking it. Oh, I'm looking at some folk, amen. And Pleasant Hill, we need to hear the challenge. We need to hear the challenge, especially those of us in leadership. We need to hear the challenge, because how can I vote no on other folks' money when I don't put nothing in the pot? Oh my, oh my, oh my. In this passage, Malachi chapter 3, God asked the people to bring in a tithe. Tell your neighbor, 10% is a tithe. And see if he will not bless them for it. A tithe is nothing more than a penny out of every dime. A dime out of every dollar. If God sat with you at a table and gave you 10 dimes, what would cause you to say no if God asked you for one of them back? Yet 90% of all people who say they love God will say, no, God, this is mine. I told you I wasn't going to get many amens. We get upset about paying 10% when God is entitled to the full 100% to do as he pleases. The moment God puts money into our hands, we declare, this is mine. I'll only give what I want to give. Up goes the fortress around our fries. I'm going to mess up y'all fry eating experiences. We have no idea of how blessed we are and of all the things that God has done for us. God loves us so much that he has not even given up on us yet, even though we make it plain, I'm not letting you have my fries. Do you know what gratitude is? Gratitude is having an understanding and an appreciation of the blessings that we have in life. Some of you here would like to show God your gratitude, but like Jimmy, you're not sure that you're going to have enough fries to meet your obligations. Do I have a witness today? Well, there are three things that we ought to know about God when we're afraid to believe that God will meet our needs financially if we become tithers. Oh my, it's my hope, it's my prayer that by the end of this message, some of you, amen, who know what is right, who know, amen, what you need to do as it relates to what God commands us to do as it relates to giving 10% of our fries back to Him. It's my hope and my prayer that by the end of this message, you will be so convicted that when the deacons come to pass out the envelopes, you'll say, I'm going to step out on faith and do what God wants me to do. Let me tell you why you ought not ever be worried about whether or not after you give God what He commands, whether you're going to be able to make it. Oh, I got some witnesses in here. Amen. Amen. The first reason you ought not be worried about it has to do with God's power. I wonder if anybody in here knows He has power. The Greek word dunamis. Same word we get dynamite from. God has the power. Now, I need you to understand here that the power that we're talking about here has more to do with ability. Do you, y'all remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they were, amen, 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 about to be thrown into that fiery furnace, amen, amen. They said, He may not deliver us, but He's able. Oh, where am I? No, He's able for. I said, He's able. It really boils down to whether or not we can believe Jesus. We trust Jesus with our eternal salvation, which is by far the greatest thing we have at stake. I mean, if Jesus was lying to us, then we are still lost and in danger of spending eternity separated from God in pain and agony. Now, this same Jesus who told us, I am the way. You believe that, don't you? I am the truth. You believe that, don't you? I am the life. You believe that, don't you? Well, He also told us that anyone who gives up anything or any relationship for the gospel's sake will receive up to 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. This same Jesus took five loaves of bread. Two fish, fed over 5,000 folk. You Bible readers remember that? And is there anybody in here who's foolish enough to believe that if Jesus could do this with the little boy's lunch, can't He do at least 1% of that with what we have? When we sing, Jesus, You're the center of my joy. Do we mean it? Should God take us seriously with our praise and worship to Him? Or y'all, do we need to rewrite some of the songs we sing? Oh my, I'm talking about if we're going to be true, if we're going to be honest, maybe we need to, amen, start singing the words, amen, as it relates to our attitude. Lord, if after I pay for cable, car waiting, three-way calling, designer clothing, a car I can't afford, last year's Christmas shopping on my credit cards, if there's anything left, I'll show you how much I love you. But right now, don't reach over here for 10% of my fries, because these are mine. God's power. Come on, if you know He's got power, power, His ability. The reason you can step out on faith and give God 10%, the reason you can step out on this word, the same word, amen, that tells you that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all. If we can, amen, step out on faith and believe that this same word that says weeping may endure for a night, joy comes in the morning, then you ought to be able to step out on faith and believe that if God says give 10% back to Him, you ain't got to worry about your light bill. You ain't got to worry about your phone. You ain't got to worry about no kind of. Is there anybody here who knows that when you do what thus said the Lord, He'll turn around and bless you? Come on. How many folk want to come from under the curse? Lord, I'm tired of my finances being cursed. I'm tired of my relationships being cursed. I'm tired of my health being cursed. God, I want to get from under this curse. You need to know He's got power. But then secondly, Not only do you need to be reminded that he's got the power, you need to also know about God and man and God's provisions. God